you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's jazz call on Tuesday, the 25th of January. We have Carlton Samuels, Tijani Benjema, Sintra Suknanan, Sébastien Bachelet, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Avery Doria, Eric Brunner-Williams, Dave Kisundwayal. From staff, we have Carla Valente and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Apologies today noted from Boudouin Chombé, Carlos Aguirre, and Alex Gakuru. If I could please also remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Rafik, we're trying to get hold of him, and Cheryl Langdon Orr will be joining us shortly. Thank you. Over to you, Carlton.
Thank you, Gisela. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, everyone. Welcome. I am Carlton Samuels. I am speaking from Kingston, Jamaica. I am going to be your chair for this session. Just as a background, we have a situation, as most of you know, the Joint Applicant Support Working Group was a cross-community working group that was chartered by Jinzo. We have reached what we consider MPAR because of competing, I should say, dueling charters. Most of you would have seen the charters. Our colleague from At Large, Alan Greenberg, has graciously put together a side-by-side comparison of the charters.
Who is now on the call?
Thank you, Alan. Glad to see you. Who has put together... and if you would look at it, you will see where the outstanding differences are. I'm not sure, but let me just declare my hand from the get-go. You might have seen my public response to the situation. I am still connected to that view. And what we're trying to do here is to see whether or not there is a will to have a resolution and allow the working group to go forward. As it stands at the moment, it is certainly the preponderant view in the at large is that the ALAC-approved charter is good and sufficient to meet the needs of the at-large community. The competing charter, it is generally believed, is way too restrictive and would not provide an output that we think our community is requesting. Since my views are known on it, I will simply say no more on that. Where we are at the minute is that there's an idea floated, that was floated that is suggesting that the work group, the joint work group, could move forward if the group were to work on topics of mutual interest, and the mutual interest, as the claim is defined in the GNSO approved charter. So that is the basis for mutuality of interest, the GNSO approved charter. And then it was suggested that in areas where there is no convergence, then the at-large, ALAC, could work on those areas for our own purposes. The advice that would go to the board would only come from the pieces that are mutual. That is a proposal that has been run up the flagpole. I would now open the meeting for comments.
You you've got a bunch of hands up.
I am going back to that. Thank you. Just taking me a little while to get to it.
You're first, Alan. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not sure where that proposal came from. I think that was the proposal that was made in the GNSO list or something close to it. Since that time, there has been some indication that there's been a discussion reported between Bruce and Stefan, the chair of the GNSO, that perhaps there is a way to go forward in a somewhat wider scope. The proposal that I made, which has not been accepted by the GNSO, but it was well received by the ALAC, was that if the group is willing, and I have heard nothing from anyone on this group that indicates otherwise, that the group work on both, on all the issues, and generally the GNSO one is a subset with the exception of adding an issue about supporting IDN, and that in its report it either flag carefully each recommendation for which recommendation is for which group, that is, some would be for both and some perhaps would be only for ALAC, or perhaps issue two different reports to subset them so that a group that did not charter a specific task does not see the results. And certainly that was the one that I thought the at-large was looking at, and I think it may be more acceptable to the GNSO as time goes on. That may or may not prove the case. There is, of course, an ALAC meeting immediately following this where I'm expecting there to be a discussion, perhaps a decision, on what the ALAC is going to do. Certainly there's been little interest in the ALAC in reducing its charter to match that of the GNSO, and so I'm not expecting that as an outcome. And so the really important question I think this group needs to answer, and we have pretty good attendance today, or at least it's starting, is to what extent is this group willing to work to two charters, understanding that the outputs would have to be delineated based on what those charters are. Because if everyone in this group is willing to work, whether we're calling ourselves two different groups, you know, one chartered by both organizations and one chartered only by ALAC, it doesn't have an awful lot of relevance to the discussion, other than perhaps we need to call an ALAC conference call number so the GNSO doesn't show up in a GNSO budget when we discuss those items. But other than that NIT level, I don't think there's much relevance. So I think that the question this group has to answer is, are we willing to work on both if the two charters cannot be reconciled, and if both groups are willing to work in that environment? Thank you.
Let me just say, I can't see the hands. I don't know why I'm not seeing the hands on the meeting view here.
You have Eric now.
Right.
Sorry?
You have Eric now.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Tijani. And then after Tijani is Andrew, who just raised his hand. My question to you, Carlton, is about the process of interaction, not about the substance of the outcome, which was the point that that Alan just made. Who is conducting the negotiation with the GNSO? How is it being conducted? I'd like to ensure that we're not engaging in discussion of bypassed interactions. As Alan also indicated, that there's been more recent interaction. So really just a clarification of when you say there is a proposal, from whom is the proposal? Who is responsible for this? Thank you.
The proposal I saw came from Stefan and Gelda and Bruce, and essentially those are the people who sent the proposal. They have not spoken to me, as a matter of fact. I believe that they spoke to Rafiq.
I'm sorry, Bruce?
Bruce Tonkin.
Thank you.
And Stefan Van Gelder. Those were the ones that raised the issue of how we move on. They have always said also that they would want us to avoid confusion because they want to keep within the GNSO procedures, and so we call them discussion forums.
Can I have a quick answer to that, by the way?
Yes.
Okay. I see Olivier has his hand up, so I know there have been some discussions between Olivier and other people. But just to be clear...
I still can't see the
Yeah, okay. But just to be clear, no one can negotiate on behalf of the GNSO. The ALAC may be more flexible, and we may appoint someone to negotiate on behalf of our the ALAC, but no one can negotiate on behalf of the GNSO. Someone can try to broker something, however, and I think that's what's happening at this point.
I was about to say that I didn't think there was a negotiation at all. It was simply that they were trying to find a way that was palatable to the GNSO Council. So they were sending it through to the GNSO Council so that they changed their mind about it. That's what my understanding is.
The hands are going up and down. Tijani lowered his. Andrew is next, and then Olivier.
I still can't see hands.
That's why I'm telling you.
Thank you.
Do I have it now?
May I speak?
Sorry.
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you very much. So we discussed this task, this question last meeting, last call, and I think there was an agreement that we will work on the sum of the two charters. I mean, each item in each charter will be considered by this working group, and at the end, if the GNSO keep its position, we will say that this recommendation is a recommendation from ALAC and GNSO. This one is only the ALAC recommendation. We can even go further and put the name of people who will adopt this recommendation, but not this one. I don't accept that we only send to the board only the issues related to the charter of the GNSO. I don't accept it. That's all.
Can I ask a question, just and then the next person hand on? My understanding is that it is the GNSO Council who will vote to accept the any document that is forwarded to them for onward submission to the board. Assuming the GNSO, by charter, does not recognize certain aspects of the work, do we believe that there is a good chance of them voting to send through a recommendation that they did not accept officially? That's a question from me.
I can answer that. With the current tone within the council, not a chance.
Thank you, Alan.
They may be willing to accept the parts that meet their charter if they're sufficiently delineated, maybe.
Uh-huh.
We have Andrew next, and then Olivier have their hands up.
Thank you. First of all, it sounds to me like we have a fair amount of agreement. I mean, the way that Tijani just described it, it seems to me to meet basically what Alan said earlier on and what my position would be, which is let's move forward, let's cover as many of the, let's cover all of the issues that are in both of these, give people the things that they've said that they wanted to get, and, you know, if we can't get the GNSO to agree internally on everything that we would like, at least give them something that we feel is the maximum amount that might be actionable from our work plan, and push them to and liaise with ALAC to try to push GNSO to lean forward on the recommendations that they carry forward or that they consider. And it strikes me as just the obvious logical thing. I agree that it's disappointing that they've chosen such a narrow focus, but that also may change because my understanding of it is that some of this has to do with internal issues within GNSO, not even so much with us. So that political piece may change over the course of time, too, no? Anyway, that's my sense of it.
We have Olivier and I have my hand up again, Alan.
Thanks.
thanks, Alan. I just wanted to reply to Eric's question with regards to who was dealing with negotiations between ALAC and the GNSO. There isn't such a thing as negotiations, as Alan rightly pointed out. The way that the discussion came through was after the last conference call that took place, the last JAS conference call that took place, I emailed Stefan van Gelder privately to advise him that it was highly unlikely that the at-large advisory committee would accept the proposed GNSO charter, although we were going to discuss this afternoon, which is actually the call following this will be discussed, but it's very unlikely that at-large advisory council will accept it, and so that he should launch a discussion within the GNSO to see what kind of solution we can find at-large and the GNSO, but primarily the GNSO itself, since they are the ones with the chartering side of things, and launch the discussion there for them to find a solution to take us out of this current problem. That's how it all started. One thing I am concerned about is that at this very call that we're on at the moment, there are very few GNSO members. In fact, the majority of the people here are all at large. And I'm afraid that it's not like this that we'll actually be able to resolve anything with regards to the charter, the GNSO charter. Thank you.
Carlton, I'm the only one.
Alan, can you go ahead?
Yeah, okay. A couple of things. First of all, understand we can make the decision to work on that we're willing to work on both. ALAC can make the decision that its charter stands or some version of it. The GNSO then has a decision to say, it can say we're withdrawing our charter. If the group is intended to go forward and work on things we don't want them to, then they no longer have a GNSO charter. So that's out of our control. They may take a more lenient view. We don't know. I don't think there's much impact on what we do if the GNSO withdraws its charter. The people who are working on this because they believe in it, who may have been affiliated with GNSO stakeholder groups, will likely continue. I'm not sure why they're not on this call today. I hope it's not a message. So that to some extent is out of our hands, but we can go forward. We may go forward purely as an ALAC group. That may have an impact on how the board views the results, of course. We have no control over that either. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I started out by telling you that was my position. It's written, it's public, it is published, and I don't think I'm changing my mind about that.
Avery points out in the chat that she is here and she is GNSO.
Oh, well, I see that, yes. She's still GNSO and CSG. Yes, Avery, thank you, welcome. Glad to have you. But So I would not wish to say much more on that because my position is well known.
Sebastian has his hand up.
Sebastian is on next.
Thank you. I have one question. Is that I try to understand the process here and the policy development process. It's in the end of the GNSO or the SOs, and then the at large can participate to this working group or not participate to this working group, and in the same time ALAC could have its own working group on topics they want to have, and my question is really how we see that. Is it a policy development process and it's in the end of the SOs, or it is something different and the discussion we have here, it's relevant? I was a little bit puzzled by the answer of the legal because I would have hoped that they could answer this type of question prior to, or just not just saying that it's the first time it's happened and we don't know what to do. But in the same time, my suggestion is that you spend a lot of time on discussing that issue. I would like to advise or to suggest that you carry on the topics, because also you have a recommendation or request from the board to do some work. Then it's important to keep the work done and not just discuss on this on the personal issue. Thank you very much.
Well, Sebastian, there is actually some comment from the board on the charter. The legal, the general counsel's office actually sent its advice, and essentially it kind of ducked the issue, said, well, we don't have any precedent to proceed here in the bylaws, and they just kind of recommend that, you know, try to work it out, you fellas. That is the substance of the response from the general counsel's office, in my opinion.
We have two hands, me and Olivier.
I am kicked out again, so I can't see. I'm trying to get back on. I don't know why it keeps on shoving me out.
Should I go ahead then?
Please do.
Okay. Several things. On the question that Sebastian raised on policy development, the GNSO is charged with GTLD policy development. As far as I understand, this is not policy development. This is implementation. It is outside of the policy development process, as far as I understand, which is why it was a joint group to begin with. This is not formal GNSO policy. If it was, it would be a PDP, one chartered by the GNSO, and my understanding is this is completely separate from that. There may be policy, but it's not GTLD policy. And with regard to the response from legal, that the answer they gave was exactly the one that I had predicted, and I think I said that in a public forum. I was expecting the answer saying there is no precedent, it is not forbidden, therefore you can do whatever you feel is appropriate. And that's basically what they said. In terms of getting the work done, I'll make the statement here I've made several times in this group and a number of people have made on the GNSO. Let's stop talking about process and start, go back to starting talking about the work. The process part is out of our control. It is being handled. We don't know how it's going to turn out. Let's assume it turns out the way we want it to and do some work. Thank you. Next hand,
Olivier and then Sebastian. I am back on.
Thank you, Carlton. Well, Alan has just said it. You know, the GNSO will deal with its process on one side. The ALAC will deal with its process this afternoon. And I think we should just get a move on and get this group to move, because I don't expect it to be disbanded. I don't expect it to be blocked altogether. And as it looks at the moment, if the GNSO says no, ALAC is likely to be a bit more positive than that. So the last thing it wants to do is to have an actual mandate to do something and not do anything, because it spent so much time on process. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. I see an endorsement of that position. Avery is endorsing that position. Can I hear from, and I see Alan doing the same. Dave is also, and Andrew. So it seems from the participants on this call, there is a majority position that we simply move on and start the substantive work. So that's what we will do. So the decision we can report is that the members of this work group have agreed that we will move on and start the substantive work. Now, just to make sure that we are all on the same page as to what that means, can I have a succinct framing of what we mean by that? Anybody can jump in here. Andrew?
Thank you, Carlton. Sorry. I think I'm going to go with Alan's first explanation, which was everything that's on that's contained in either of the two charters that we would like to go forward with.
Great. That's one. Thank you, Andrew. Alan?
Yeah. The one specific thing that we can do in process, if we can do it quickly, I don't want to have a huge debate over it, is the GNSO did add an item saying design mechanisms to encourage the build-out of IDNs in small and underserved languages. It's an issue we had talked about in this group. We did not reach sufficient consensus to put it into our projected charter for the second group. If the group generally feels that this is something that it will not hurt to talk about more, then we could suggest to the ALEC they add it to theirs. That is the only process thing that I would think might have some merit in making a decision, and then we should go forward. The ALEC is meeting after this, so there is an opportunity for the ALEC to add that, should the ALEC choose to, which I would think it would only do on the recommendation from this call, if not this group. Thank you.
I'm looking at the chart. If you look in the window, it's a side-by-side chart. That's the one labeled 1E, and that Alan is referring to. And that's saying, can I ask Tijani? Tijani, you have the floor. Tijani?
He may be muted.
He was muted. Sorry. Okay. I don't think that ALAC should add anything now. Now we have to. We agreed that we will work on the on all items of both charters. That means that we will work also on the item of the IDNs. But at the end, if GNSO reach an agreement to join our proposal, we can add whatever we want to add. But at this time, we have to work, to go to the substance.
Okay.
Okay. So, Andrew, you're back again. Do you want to speak?
Yes, sir. Just a quick suggestion. Looking at the charter that we had and the discussions that we've had looking at the ALAC charter, and also with the thought that to try to push a little bit of harmonizing between the two, I think that if we can do it in a way that I don't think that there's anything in the ALEC charter that prevents us from working on the IDN issue, and if we think we can get it included in a revised ALEC charter without a lot of heavy lifting, I think it will make it more likely that we will get some of the other recommendations looked at by GNSO, because the two charters will be that much closer together. If it looks like it's going to be something that's really difficult to get through, I would agree with Tijani and say, leave it out. Let's work on them on parallel tracks, but let's work on all the things on both lists.
Well, I'm reading Tijani's intervention as merely a way to limit what Alan was suggesting, because if you the substantive difference in the charters, if you add the e-design mechanisms, is probably it. That's what I understood Alan to be saying, that we work with the ALAC charter plus.
ALAC can certainly defer that decision, and we can go away. We don't have to make a call right now. If the GNSO keeps their charter in and we're jointly chartered, then this group can validly work on it. If the GNSO were to withdraw its charter altogether, the ALAC would have to add it to allow us to work on it. We don't have, no one has to make a decision on that today.
Okay. Avery, can we have your input, please?
Thanks. Quick question for Alan. He keeps talking about the GNSO withdrawing its charter. I'd like to know if there's any actual discussion of that. I certainly haven't seen any on the list. The other thing I'd like to point out is I'm ambivalent about the work item itself. I think that if we've made a decision to work on the union of the two charters, we don't need to add it to the charter. The ALAC doesn't need to add it to the charter. However, if they want to be in your face to the GNSO and say, we looked at your charter and we find one thing worth picking up from it, and that's the addition of the work item, and we therefore have added that to ours, thank you for the suggestion, then I think they should. But realize that it is kind of in your face. We looked at your charter, we saw what you took out. Nope, we're not taking that out. We reaffirm that we wanted to do all the work that we listed before. But yeah, thank you for the extra item, and we're going to add it. And I think that's a great thing for ALAC to do, but I think that if they do it, they should do it with the knowledge that that's what they're doing. Thanks.
I can answer Avery's question.
Thank you, Avery. Thank you, Avery. Alan, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I can answer. Avery, there was discussion that having two charters is completely untenable and not something the GNSO would accept. That wasn't a formal GNSO position. That was a position taken by a number of counselors. So it is conceivable that in this, faced with the situation of two charters, the GNSO would say this is no longer a joint work group and we don't, you know, and it's not an issue. I'm not predicting that. There has been a tone, if not a specific statement to that effect. Thank you.
Avery, back to you.
Yeah, thanks. In which case, I actually think that, you know, the GNSO having put out the charter, ALAC, you know, in thinking about it further, ALAC does have a responsibility to look at that charter and offer a response. So I think offering a response that includes the whole charter plus that would be a really fine thing to do. And it'll be curious to see what the GNSO council, this is not the GNSO we're talking about, it's just its policy council, decides to do with it. So I'd say I'd encourage ALAC to add this, even though, as I say, I'm ambivalent on the work item itself. Thanks.
Can I just say something here, quite frankly? That's what I would recommend. I think the ALAC will take this up in our meeting following. My posture is that we must make a official response to the GNSO, and we must tell them what our posture is. I would certainly support a union charter, knowing fully, with the full understanding that my issue is that the elements of the ALAC charter that were left out are simply non-negotiable. I have Tijani.
Yes. Did the GNSO answer or reply to our, did they give an answer to our charter? Why we have to answer their proposal? Why we have to comment on their proposal?
Well, my thing is it's for closure. They voted on a charter that we, and I think for closure, we should just have an official response to it. So that's what I would do.
Okay. But what Sebastian said that this working group is the GNSO working group. And I think they think so. They think that this is their working group, and we are an appendix to them. And this is not right, because the Resolution 20 didn't say that.
Maybe
it's a joint working group, and we have exactly the same rights and the same, if you want, inputs. And perhaps ALAC is more active in this working group. So I don't understand why they feel as if they are the boss and we have to always follow or always answer their proposal, etc.
Well, you know, it's probably serendipity. You use the word appendix, which in the clinical sense, it, for at least for human beings, is purely there.
So
for sure.
Sorry for the English. Sorry for the English.
So it probably is the appendage. I quite understand that, Tijani. In my opinion, I am not willing to cede what I believe. I'm just simply saying that as a matter of.
I understand. Yes.
Course to tell them.
Understand.
And that would be my posture. But of course, the ALAC will take it on advisement. Andrew.
Yes, sir. Can I make a suggestion, Carlton? I think what I'm hearing is basically two sorts of issues. One sort of issue is around what exactly we want to work on, and I think that there's pretty wide agreement about that. And then the other sort of issue is around, is if you will, around optics and power. And I'm concerned about the optics and power issues. I'm also concerned that there's a limit to how much real influence we have and whether this is the right time for us to try to sort all this stuff out anyway. I wonder if we can't punch some of those down the road a little bit because, it's absolutely true what Tajani is saying, and yet I'm not sure we have the ability to really do that much about it.
I agree. At this point, I think we should just agree. My proposal to the group here is that as a process way forward, is that we agree to work on a union charter. This is a proposal on the table at the minute, and then we see how it pans out in the end. That's what I'm hearing. To me, that is the decision that needs to be made by this group.
And I guess what I'm hearing is that is a decision that people seem comfortable with. And I know a lot of people have to get off this particular call early. I have to leave in about 3 minutes because I wasn't expecting it to be moved. So if we're all in agreement, I think that's a good outcome. And I just want to make sure we're at a stopping point.
So if there's no objection, I think we have all talked our way into agreeing that we have a union, work on a union charter. The charters are there for everybody to see. Probably the next meeting, we will simply decide how we divide the work and how we process the work. Is that agreeable to everyone? Avery?
So we're already putting off. We got even 10 minutes left on this one. I know Andrew has to drop out so he could stick up his hand quickly on the things he wanted to work on. We've got 10 more minutes at least on this one. Do we have to wait for another meeting to think about how we're going to split up the work?
No, we could start now. My thing is we can start now. It depends on what the it's perfectly reasonable for us to start now how we divide up the work. There are all these issues. They're laid out there. You see them in the document pane. We can just decide who's going to do what, or do we have committees of the whole to look at everything? I am personally interested in three issues. The first issue is, what is the modality by which we will provide assistance? That one is key to me. And there's the first issue is eligibility rules. What are the eligibility rules? The modality by which we will provide assistance, what kinds of assistance could be contemplated? Those are the three main areas to me. Yes, I'm seeing Eric's hand.
Thank you, Carlton. I want to take this occasion to remind the chairs, and I know Rafik isn't on the call, but so just to remind you, Carlton, that the chairs are not the working groups, and your agenda, your individual agenda, is as good as anyone else's, but it's not really better than that. So we need to agree on what we're going to do, and it really doesn't spring from my mind alone or anyone else's mind alone. Thank you very much.
I quite agree. My intervention there is intended to engender conversation. I've suggested that we should decide now, and I started hopefully by saying if we group all of the aspects of the charters, since we're going union charters, we should at least group them into aspects that are heads of agreement, as it were. And that's what I was trying to get started, that discussion.
Johnny and Avery have their hands up.
Avery?
I have my hand up, Carlton.
Please go ahead. I moved away from the desk.
Okay, no problem. I think that there is at least two main topics on which we have to work in this group. The first one is the fundraising mechanisms and distribution mechanisms that Avery volunteers to lead.
Yeah.
And the second one is the need criteria definition, and for which Sintra has some inputs. So at least we have those two main topics that we have to already begin working on.
Good. Thank you. I agree. Tijani. Avery?
Yeah, I think that in one of his messages, Eric did actually a fairly good breakdown of like three or four steps if you want a general bucket that, that things fell into. And I think when you ask the question, are we doing this as a committee of the whole or as separate, I think you may want to look at the same sort of mechanisms that we used in the first half, which was there were separate groups of people in this case that had been A and B. This time it may be A, B, C, D, that would work between meetings and at each meeting would bring it back to the committee of the whole. And that keeps the energy of people who are dedicated to a topic working on it, but it keeps the whole working group involved in terms of discussing and pushing things forward. So I'd suggest that the chairs and that those of us that are interested, and I wasn't necessarily volunteering to lead a mechanism, though I'm certainly willing to do so if that's the right thing to do, but, you know, certainly that we declare, you know, which of the, is it two, is it three, is it four buckets of categories, and as I say, I think Eric started out really well, and you know, I think I fell into his fourth bucket, if I remember.
Yes.
And follow that kind of both committees working between meetings and reporting and discussing at meetings so that we don't have dead space between meetings. But that's just a suggestion. Yeah, I don't remember. Andrew's asking what were Eric's buckets. Perhaps Eric can answer that. I read them. I said, yeah, this is kind of cool. But then I moved on. Thank you.
I was about to ask Eric if he could just put them up so that people could see them. It's the same idea we're actually converging on. If we could put it up, I'd like the framework you suggested, Avery, that we have these pockets, we have these buckets that we put all the concerns into, the unionized concerns. And then we create four different subgroups and work through. Members can attach to each subgroup of interest. And at the meetings and the calls, then the members elect a spokesperson for each subgroup. And we would depend on that person to present at the calls. Yes, Alan? Hello? Alan?
Are you mute?
Alan, you have the mic.
Perhaps he's muted.
Perhaps he's muted. He's not hearing me. I hope he saw that. Okay. Can we go to Eric then until Alan comes on?
I think I have the mail that. Are you sure that that I used the word bucket?
No, you didn't use the word buckets. That was my word. You had four steps or four
categories, groupings of the issues, whatever you want to call it.
Carla.
Hello, this is Carla speaking. The subject was some areas of work, and I just re-forwarded the email to the mailing list.
Okay, and thank you, Carla.
To the chat window.
I will copy and paste to the chat window.
No, I think I already did, Carla.
Okay.
Thank you.
Looks like that's a different one.
Well,
yeah, that's a different one.
This doesn't seem that it's the kind of...
Okay, forget that one and go with the one that Carla just sent.
Okay. Oh, Alan is back. Alan, your hand was up. I was calling, so you can go ahead.
Sorry. Sorry, I didn't hear the first part of you. I wasn't actually back on. I just heard noise. The only point I was going to make is, to the extent that we have to prioritize things, we should look at what is explicitly requested by the board and what is perhaps the most critical in terms of timelines to get this in place for the first round of the GTLD call. Sorry, that was all I was trying to say.
Okay, thank you. Well, I could go tell you what the board resolution says. In particular, provides specific guidelines on the implementation of the recommendations, that is, from the working group, such as determining the criteria for eligibility for support. So they're concerned about eligibility, what the eligibility rules are, and they're concerned about a sustainable funding model that may be independent of ICANN. And they're concerned about the implementation, that it should be transparent and it should benefit the global community. So it seems to me there that the board is seized with ensuring that whatever we are recommending is implementable. We should have well-defined eligibility rules. We must proffer a sustainable funding model, maybe independent of ICANN. That's what they say. And the implementation, that is to say, those who get in the pot, the route by which they get into the pot must be transparent to the community. So there you have it. They have actually prioritized the areas of need. And if you look at what we were suggesting in terms of the breakdown, work breakdown structure, we were concerned about eligibility rules, we were concerned about the funding and mechanisms, as well as the distribution mechanisms, and clearly those two are very important to the board. At least those are the two that everyone seems to agree on straight away. Yes, Tijani.
Sorry. No. I will lower my hand.
Eric?
Thank you. I have actually a somewhat pressing agenda item, which is Thursday, the temporary drafting group legal meets, and on their agenda is the continuity instrument. And I propose to take the position that relief from the burden of the continuity instrument is in the interest of the applicants who are needs qualified, and attempt to obtain less onerous terms for needs qualified applicants than the terms that are currently in the fifth version of the draft applicant guide. There's been correspondence between myself and Richard Tindall primarily on the subject in the last day or so. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Eric. Any other comments? So we have three major tracks, as it were, groupings. Is anyone available to ensure that we are aligned with A, the concerns that are listed in the unionized work group charter, and B, the priority of the board?
I'm sorry, Carlson. What are you asking for?
I'm asking whether or not there's anyone who would be willing to volunteer just to do a quick check and put to the group to make sure that the groupings that we are proposing here and the priorities that we assign are in keeping with the board priorities as well as the unionized charter, list of concerns in the charter. Follow me?
Yeah, thank you for the clarification.
No volunteers?
I propose that people subscribe for each track by email.
It is one subgroup.
Yes, yes, Tijani. We have the tracks. I think we have a kind of consensus emerging about the tracks. It would be wise for everyone who's interested to volunteer per track. That's good. But just to ensure that we have the tracks and we prioritize the work, as Alan was suggesting, I would also recommend that we at least make sure that the priorities of the board is recognized by each track, and so the members of that track would know what the priority is in terms of work. Okay. All right. Well, I will do this for the group. I will, to the best of my recollection, put out to this group the tracks that I think are talked about here. I will then ask for each volunteer to add their names to each track, and we will start from there. It's now 3 minutes on to the top of the hour. We have a hard stop at top of the hour. Are there any other issues, concerns that members would like to bring forward now? Sintra? Sintra?
I just want to confirm our next meeting is this week, right?
Yes, there's a Friday meeting.
Right. What I would like to do is, with the information that I have found so far in terms of legal aid applications, if I could just forward that to the group, so that, because certainly the eligibility requirements is an aspect of it that is pertinent right now, and it's something that I think we can all contribute to and we'd all be interested in.
Very good.
Right? So I will start forwarding what I've found. There's an interest of justice test, which I don't think is really applicable, but we can phrase that in a way that is more interest of the community. So that's an area that we really need to look at. Okay?
Yes. See your note, Eric. We will send out a work with staff to create an agenda for Friday's meeting, and we take note of what you've said here. The notes of the meeting, as soon as they're turned around, I hope it will contain that note. It's a minute to the top of the hour. I would like to close this meeting because I'm due for the next one. There being no other business. Staff was not going to make the agenda. We were going to work with staff to make the agenda. We need some help from staff. Okay, everyone. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
This meeting is over. Bye.